Turning this morning to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Excuse me, sometimes there's a glare on this crazy thing, so forgive me. There we go, that'll be a little bit better. If you find your place there in 1 John chapter 3, please stand with me. Reverence to God's Word. It's not on my behalf or behalf of any human, but reverence of the good Word of God. And we begin reading in the first verse of John 3. Please listen to these words carefully. John writes and he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Father, we stand before you this morning and thanking you. I thank you that I can call you Father. Thankful for my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his sacrifice at Calvary that accomplished what we read about here in these verses. Lord, I just simply pray that you would bring these words alive to our very soul, our very heart and being. The Lord, we would indeed celebrate your great love to us. Father, I'm thankful that you'd deal with us about this morning. Pray, Father, that in every way, we would love you with every fiber of our being, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, again, I pray for anyone that might be within these walls today that is yet without Christ, that this day, this very day, Lord, would be the day of their salvation. That today, put their faith, their trust in the one who gave his life for them. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name. And for his glory, we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. I was going to preach this message last Sunday night, following the message Sunday morning, of course, talking about this similar subject, but looking at it from a different aspect this morning. And these verses are beautiful verses indeed. And I love that where it says, that word, behold. It's a good word. Of course, every word in the Scriptures is a good word. But that word in the New Testament, when we come to it, we should take notice. We would be wise to give our attention to what the writer is going to say or what he is about to say. That word itself, behold, means to be aware or take a look at this. And it is if I were to say to you, hey, get load of this. Maybe in our common vernacular of the day, it means more as well than just looking at something with our eyes. It involves looking with the brain. We do that once in a while, don't we? To look at something with our understanding. To give it our understanding. I guarantee, beloved, if you will take a good look at these verses today, it'll be a blessing to your heart. Indeed, the Lord will bless you. Consider this. Behold. Get a load of this. Take note of this. What manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. What a statement. What a statement. John wants us, obviously, to take note of the manner, or the kind, or the sort of love that our Heavenly Father has been pleased to show us. And because of this sort of love, now get this, because of the sort of love that God has bestowed upon us, it can then be said of us that we, beloved, earthly people of flesh, should be called the sons of God. Sons of God. We're talking about words. Well, that word manner is kind of an interesting word too. The manner. It draws attention. The word itself draws attention to the source of this love. The word would be asked in the day that the Greek language, the Koine Greek language was used. It would be used to ask somebody where they're from. The idea would be, where did you originate from? We might ask somebody today what their ancestry was, or where'd you come from? Living in Texas, living in the South for over 20 years, now when I go back to Ohio and Pennsylvania, where I was actually born, they say, where are you from? You know, I'm kind of like a sponge. Where I'm at, I kind of soak up the vernacular and the accent and all that. And if I go to the grocery store, they'll look at me kind of, where are you from? And I said, isn't it obvious? And just leave it with them. Well, here in this case, the manner. Here John wants to draw our attention to where this love originated. Where did it originate? Dear ones, this love that has been bestowed upon us originated in heaven with God. In the next chapter, in chapter 4, 1 John, verse 19, it says this, we love Him. Do you love Him? We love Him because He first loved us. Where did this love originate? It originated with God. It originated in heaven. But I want us, as we go into this, I want us to take note of, maybe it'll help us to appreciate it even more, if we take note of who we were before God saved us. Who were you before God saved you? Now, if you're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you understand that before you were saved, before you knew the Lord Jesus Christ, you were without hope, as it speaks of in verse 3. You were without hope and could do nothing about your condition by your own ability. You couldn't do anything for yourself. You might now... Some might think, well, that's not true, preacher. I've made quite a person out of myself. Well, I don't care what you've made out of yourself. It didn't make you fit for glory. There's nothing you've got more to do than you can do if you think you can get yourself ready for heaven. As we look at this, you might not like this, but you were a slave to your sin and a servant of the devil. Well, that's kind of offensive, preacher. Well, I'm not the one that declared it. God did. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote about this in the second chapter of his letter to the Ephesian church. Ephesians 2, verse 2, it says this. Listen to this carefully. He says, wherein time past ye walked, your previous life, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now get this. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Wow. What does God say? We were marching to the world's drum, and we didn't have the ability to break loose of it. And I'm so thankful that that's not the end of the story. The love of God changed all of that. The love of God changed all of that. God did not just save us from sin. and deliver us from his wrath upon sin. That sounds pretty good in itself, doesn't it? He gave us new life in Christ. Getting even better. But that's not the end of it yet. But John says, behold, get load of this. God placed us into his family. Gave us a place in his family. If you're saved, beloved, you are a child of God. The premise upon everything we see here today. Well, who are you now that you are saved? Who were you before you were saved? You were someone lost and undone, a sinner without hope. Who are we now that we are saved? Now, there's a whole lot of difference between, there's not a whole lot of difference between the next two points that we'll look at, but I think they're worthy of our consideration. First, beloved, we've been given a family name. We have been given a family name. We're called the sons, and the word there is the idea of children. We are the children of God. Amen. We are called the children of God. Now, here in the world, they still call me Jim Turner. They know me as Jim Turner, but God calls me his child. Amen. God calls me his child. And if you're saved, you have a new name that associates you with your God, associates you with him. You are now called Christian. You're a Christian. We have been adopted, beloved, into God's family. I love this truth of adoption. It's not our theme for today, but we touch on it here. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote to those churches in Galatia, and he said this, that Jesus, again, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work for us, it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The adoption of sons. You know, a while back I read the story of a couple that they'd waited years and years for a child that had never came by the natural way. Well, one day they were approached with the beautiful, the wonderful opportunity to adopt a baby. All the process and paperwork, all things involved in that were completed. And the day came when they were standing in front of the judge, finalizing that adoption. And the judge pointed his finger and he asked of those prospective parents, is anyone coercing you in any way to adopt this little boy? And after the parents assured him that they were doing so, they wanted to adopt that little boy out of love for him. He then followed and he made this statement. He says, from today on, he is your son. He may disappoint you, even grieve you, but he is your son. Everything you own will one day be his, and he will bear your name. The judge turned, and he looked at the clerk of the court, and he gave the command. So order that a change be made to this child's birth certificate, that it reflect by name that these are the parents of this child. And that practice continues to this day, beloved. What a beautiful thing. A picture of how our Heavenly Father loves us without coercion. Huh? Without coercion. He loved us and gave His Son's name to us. He adopted us into His eternal family. And our name, get this, our name has been recorded in the books of heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. We've been given a family name. But we've also been given a place. Listen to this. We've also been given a place in a family. To be called the Son of God means that there's a family association involved with that. Aren't you thankful that when you bow your head, you can address the God of this creation, the God of the universe, as Father? As Father. Wow. When you are a member of a family, whether it be by the natural process or by adoption, you have a relationship then to the members of the family. Think about this. This same truth applies to the family of God. I love this passage in Hebrews chapter 3. My, it's tremendous. Listen to these words. Hebrews chapter 3. Begin reading there in verse 10. And speaking of Christ, it says, "For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing," listen to this, "many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through salvations." "For both he that sanctifieth," speaking of our God, "and they who are sanctified," that's us, "are all of one. For which cause," now listen to this, "for which cause he is not ashamed to call us his brethren," call them brethren. Verse 12 says this, "saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee." Wow. What a statement. What a statement. Beloved, in order for God to make us part of His family, the Father's only begotten Son, the only born one Son of the Father, had to sacrifice Himself to make us fit, to sanctify us, to become fit to be brought into that family. Wow. If you are saved, I love this thought. I don't know how to express it. You can say you have a elder brother. You can call him your brother. Remember, Jesus said He's not ashamed to call us, the redeemed, those He died for, His brethren. His brethren. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us, and His Son, as it says here, is not ashamed. Is there any time you're ashamed of yourself? You're all looking at me like you've never had been in that situation. Huh? There's been times I've been ashamed of this guy. But Jesus is not ashamed, man, to call you His brethren. Wow. Take note of this, though. Take note of this, though we are unworthy, even though we were unlovable in our sin, God made a way for us to become part of His family. He did that, as we said earlier, through His own Son, Jesus Christ. And because of what Jesus did for us, we have been adopted into the royal family of glory. Can it get any better than that? The royal family of the kingdom of heaven. We're no longer a spiritual orphan. We're children of God. Children of the King, indeed. As Harriet Buell related so beautiful, you know the words, "I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted. My name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown." And what's those next words? "I'm a child of the King." I'm a child of the King with Jesus. Let me back up. Emphasis on that with. With Jesus, my Savior. I'm a child of the King. Wow. Listen to these words. It goes along with it. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, it says this, picking up there in verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. There's a testimony within our very being. The Spirit, our human spirit, where the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But it doesn't stop there. Paul goes on to explain, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs. Fellow heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together. What a thought. Now, you probably think that makes you special. Well, you're right, it does. If you think that makes you something special, you're right, it certainly does. Not that we have anything to boast in ourselves. Beloved, you're special because God bestowed His love upon you. Huh? Listen to that. Because God was pleased to bestow His love upon you. You are special to the heart of your Heavenly Father. Never forget that. Oh, it's so easy for us to get down. It's so easy for us to get stuck under the circumstances. I had a letter this week, an email this week from a dear friend of ours. His name is Bill Finnegan. He and his dear wife, Chris, are in their 80s now. And Dr. Finnegan is a tremendous biblical counselor. He's been a pastor, an evangelist, a preacher. And now he gets his greatest joy by being the Bible teacher at the Mahoning Valley Rescue Mission, of all places. Well, his dear wife has been... Well, let me back up and say this. I've heard him preach so many hundreds of times over the years. And he always wants to drive home that point, trying to encourage us and challenge us. And he'd say, how are you doing? And so what do we often might be led to say? Well, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. And he'd always want to challenge us. He'd always want to challenge those that were listening that you need to get out from under the circumstances and realize who you are in Christ. Huh? Can it get better than what God has been pleased to give us? Bestowed His love upon us. Calls you and I as His, as those that are redeemed, His children. This week I got that email from Brother Bill, and he's talking about what's going on in their lives. And his dear wife has been in the hospital for the last couple of weeks, and she's in very, very serious, critical condition. She's had to go through some surgeries, and he closed his email. He said, but we're doing great right here under the circumstances. Huh? How you doing, beloved? How you doing? We can't do better than to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow. Behold. Behold. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Wow. Well, thirdly, with all that, we know what we were. We're being told here what we are now. Well, what do we have to look forward to? Well, John wants us to understand that as well. In that second verse, he said, beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Just keeps getting better, doesn't it? Amen. Just keeps getting better. Wow. We have a present hope. We have a present hope. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And we have a future hope. Because we are the sons of God, as we've been looking at. We have, now listen, we have eternity to look forward to. Did you just let that soak in a little bit? How long's that, preacher? It's eternity. That means that, Brother Gary, it means about 2 or 3 million years into eternity, it'll still be what? Eternity. We have eternity to look forward to. To look forward to. Wow. We have a future hope, beloved. We are not given a lot of details in the scriptures about these future glorified bodies the Bible alludes to. But we do know this. We do know this, and it's terrific. We shall be like Him. We shall be like Him. Now, I don't think that the future glorified body is John's main, or certainly not his only emphasis or thinking here. Hallelujah, it sure includes it. A glorified body is 1 Corinthians 15 talks about. But notice the last words of verse 2, where it says there in that verse, For we shall see Him as He is. We shall see Him. We will see Jesus Christ as He is. That'll be glorious, won't it? Along with our glorified body, we're going to get some glorified eyeballs. I won't need these silly things anymore. We'll get a new set of eyes. Eyes will be able to see like we've never seen. We will see Jesus Christ, get those words, as He is. That's so again. When we look at each other, what do we see? Well, we won't go into detail there. But we see the outward, right? When we look at each other, we can only see the outward. We see the external. We're not able to see the person. All we can see is that outward shell that the person lives in. Do we follow that? I think we understand that. It appears that's going to change. It appears that that's going to change when we received our glorified state. That word "see" in the verse means that we'll be able to see. The idea of it is to see with eyes wide open. And it's not talking about with that deer in the headlights look. That's not what he's talking about. But to see with eyes, to see like we've never been able to see the side of eternity. Eyes that have been opened to see beyond the surface will be able to see Jesus as He is. Wow. To see Him for who and what He is. We'll be able to see. And now, I don't know about all this, but I'm just trying to understand what those words mean. But we'll be able to, for the first time, understand like we can't on this side of eternity, more of the heart of our Savior. To see Him as He is. What a hope, beloved. What a hope we have in Jesus. That verse 3 again. And every man, every person that hath this hope, this present reality with an eternal future, every man that hath this hope in Him. It says purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Boy, I really prayed about this. What does the Holy Spirit want us to get out of this? That this present reality of eternal hope. Yes, indeed. He, God, gives us eternal and present encouragement. But encouragement to what? Encouragement to live for Him. What a wonderful hope. This wonderful knowledge of what we are in Christ. What is that again? Did you catch it? We're a child of God. You are a child of God. You have been given a place in the family of God. Now that's not like some false teachers say that you are made into a God. No. No. But we have been given the amazing privilege as a child of God. A child of God. Wow. Knowing what we are in Christ then does something in us. It gives us a great desire to be like Him. He that hath that hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Now, this troubled me in a way. It's great. It's tremendous. But this is not talking about an appearing to be pure. Again, with these eyes and in this life, we can be fooled, can we not? We can be deceived. Hey, we can talk without the walk. And many times we put out a walk that doesn't match right up with the talk. This is not the prodding of a list of do's and don'ts. It is the ongoing process motivated by our love for Jesus Christ. Huh? Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you love this one who so loved you? Because we love Him. It produces a longing desire. I use the word a compulsion. An overwhelming compulsion within us to be like Him. To be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, not outwardly. It's not talking about outwardly. No. Like Him in His character. Huh? That's a lot different than just matching up to a list of do's and don'ts, isn't it? To be like Jesus in who He was, His character, His integrity. To be like Jesus in His love. To love like Jesus loved. To be like Jesus in His grace. To be like Jesus in His mercy. Huh? Oh my. That's so much more. That's so much greater than just trying to live up to a list of don't do this and do that. And do that. If that makes sense. Oh my. How can that happen? How can such a thing happen to be like Jesus in those ways? I think we all understand that we struggle. Again, I'll speak for myself. I struggle, and I believe you do too, with day to day, with wrong thoughts that quite often produce wrong actions. Victory over such things seems to be beyond our reach. Beyond our ability. such victory eludes us because I believe we labor. We labor so many times in this life with the wrong understanding of who we are. Who we are. What's that again? I've been made a member of a family. How many of you, when you were growing up, especially as we got into those teen years and later teen years, and we were leaving the house, and dad or mom, usually dad, would say, "Hey, you behave yourself. Remember who you are." And my dad wasn't a Christian in those days. What was he saying? "Don't you be bringing shame to the family." Well, I'll leave that where it is. My Father is the God of glory.
Amen.
Huh? My Father, my Heavenly Father, loved us so much that He did what? Gave His only begotten, His only born Son, Jesus Christ. Who, by the way, as we saw earlier, is not ashamed to call you brethren. That blows me away. A member of that family. Oh, we hear all the time in the news, you know, of something going on with the British royal family. And they like to talk about all the squabbles and the fusses and the things going on within the royal family. And what, you know, we've been hearing about it even in the last couple of years. And what's the whole issue? How can someone behave in such a way and be part of the royal family? Well, can we apply that to ourselves? How should you and I live? How should we be if, as members of the family of God, as His children? And again, I think that's just the surface stuff. What's more important, and what the Lord has been convicting me about in these days, that what goes on in here would match up with being a child of the King, being a child of God. If Christ liveth in me, has that had an impact on my heart, on my spirit, on my life? Knowing how much He loves me and what He's done for me, the manner of love that He's been pleased to bestow upon me should do something in this person.
Amen.
Huh? Oh, yes. We love Him. Because He first loved us. Beloved, if we see ourselves in this life, and I'm trying to finish. If we see ourselves in this life as just old sinners trying to get by the grace of God, I'm going to get by. What's that going to produce? The victory remains out of reach. But, beloved, if that's the case, we're not seeing ourselves rightly. We need those eyes to see the reality. We have the future hope of being changed into the image, to be like Jesus. And today, right now, in this present hope, I want to be like Him. I want to live in a way that honors Him and pleases Him, that gives Him glory. Huh? Are you saved? You say, "Yes, preacher, I'm saved." Then you are a child of God right now. Right now. That is your present reality right now. And along with it, you indeed have a future hope. if we'll see ourselves as a child of God now, if we grasp the truth of that, the reality of it, what will it do in our lives? What would it do in my life, in your life? Now are we the sons of God? Are you a child of God? Are you a child of the King? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Huh? What a glorious thing. What a glorious, glorious thing. That the God of glory would be pleased to make me His child. How did He do that? By receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior. By receiving Him by faith. Do you know Jesus Christ? The Bible says, that whosoever, even Jim Turner, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we're grateful, we're thankful for these truths. Lord, they stir my heart. They work in me that, oh my, to realize that that day, so many, many years ago, when I put my faith, my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I received Him, You were pleased to make me Your dear child. Oh Lord, to be able to have that peace, that knowledge within my heart of hearts that I belong to You. And Father, I'm praying for every person in this room today. God, I pray that if they're saved, You would fill their hearts with that great joy, that hope, that blessed assurance that they belong to You and that they are Your children. Oh Lord, please, please bless, please do for that one who may be here today that does not have that peace, that does not have that confidence that they know You, that they are Your child. Lord, I'm asking You, in Jesus' name, I'm asking in Your Son's name that even today You draw them savingly, beautifully, gloriously to Yourself. That one, or maybe some in this room, would be brought into the family, made part of the family of God. And Lord, I do pray that because of that work of Christ, because of the bestowing of His love upon us, that we would have that love for Him, a love that transcends all that this world has or offers, that we would love You with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Father, please, please, even in this hour, bless Your word. Make it real. Make it right. Make it true in our hearts. And I ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 164.
Amen. As we sing, beloved, please, of course, the altars are open as the Lord would be pleased to work. Please obey Him. We just ask you to do what God would tell you to do. Obey Him. I'm so thankful. So thankful I don't just stand before You in my own strength or in having to come up with wisdom of my own concoction, but then come to You with an open Bible and tell You, share with You what God says, that He loves you. He loves you. And His Son died for you. As we sing, please obey the Lord.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. The millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The millions have found him a friend, and have turned from the sins they have sinned. The Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's at the cross for you.
You know, it's amazing. You know, you remember the day you were saved? I remember. 40-some years ago now. It was actually at night when I got saved. But aren't you thankful when you think of that song? All that have been saved. All that have come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Huh? And yet still, God's saving souls. God's changing lives. Amen. He's still, even today, adding to His family. Adding to that royal family. Amen. What a blessing. What a God. What a Savior. Oh my. Brother John, would you come?
Majesty, that is.
Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be your glory, honor, and praise.